For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, it is the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Second half kickoff here. May the 4th be with you. First Monday in May. It's going to be a warm one today. 85 for a high today, 87 tomorrow. And then not too bad after that. Low 70s Wednesday and Thursday, maybe some rain Friday, and then again, low 70s coming up this weekend.
We're at the point on the calendar where every day it's not 95 and humid is a win.
I agree.
So bring it on, man.
That's right. Because it's coming.
We can handle it.
It's coming. So time to bring in Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, guys.
Excellent.
Mike, could you hear the music? Did I do well this week?
I heard the start of it. That's good. Just get you fired up, man.
Okay, so that's what you want. That's what you want every Monday at 8 o'clock when you come on air. You want this song playing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. We got you covered, man.
When I go to the stadium, that's what I wait to hear from the band. It's game day, and I'm ready. My fingers are on fire, and I'm ready to start typing up stories and coming up with storylines and angles.
I'm actually wearing a T-shirt right now. All it says, it's a red T-shirt that says Saturday in Athens. Now, that song is what makes it Saturday in Athens.
It's what it does for me, and I like the Sweet Caroline sing-along, too.
There you go. Especially on third down when there's like a third and two when we take a TV timeout. That's when I want to sing some Sweet Caroline.
Ooh.
Good time for Athens.
All right. Mike, do you want to start talking basketball or football? Where do you want to go first?
I don't think we got much to say about basketball. Rayshon Hammond's leaving. I mean, kind of that was a foregone conclusion, and now that they're moving the draft back, and I think there's more of an evaluation process, obviously that was enough to motivate Rayshon to go. I'll be honest, I don't think he's going to play in the NBA, guys. I think he's going to be going overseas, but you know, for a lot of these kids, that's what they want. You know, they're done. They're just done with college, and you know, they're ready to make money and see the world. And for Rayshon, you wish him the best.
Every single case is different. I cannot speak for Rayshon, but do you think any of this coronavirus pandemic may push some players like Rayshon to say, we don't even know what's going to happen in college? Why not go ahead and sign with the agent? Maybe get an advance. Maybe get drafted or something. But does this pandemic play into that, perhaps?
If anything, it'd make me want to stay in college and get a degree because it makes professional sports less of a certainty. So that would be my logic, you know, but you don't know who's in their world, right? I mean, our perspective and what we think of ourselves is based on who we listen to. And let's face it, a lot of people, you know, they want to listen to people that tell them the good things. I mean, I could give you 100 reasons why Rayshon Hammond should have stayed another year at Georgia, maybe one or two why he should leave. But if those one or two are important to him, then that's what he needs to do. And if he doesn't want to be at Georgia, then he needs to go. But, you know, if I'm an NBA team or a pro team, I look at his box score and I say, this guy's inconsistent. I can't invest in him. And he's going to have a big burden to prove himself as a more consistent player. We know the ceiling is there. We know how good he can be when he's at his best. But he hasn't demonstrated that he can be consistent for more than two or three games at a time through 3 years of his career.
And you had a good number in your story, too, about the fact that it's like, we're not even talking about seniors, but, I mean, 163 early entrants for 60 spots. And that's not counting the international guys. So if you add those in, that's 200 players plus the seniors that are all trying to get drafted. And that is asking a lot, I guess, at this point. Now, we know, obviously, the Ant-Man's going to be potentially the number one pick, but I'm kind of like you. I'm thinking Hammonds has got to maybe cut his teeth somewhere else besides the NBA. But only takes one person to like you.
There's 60 spots, you know, and you know, what these guys don't realize. I mean, you think about the world that athletes are in right now. You know, your school's paid for, your lodging's paid for, you're fed 24/7, you've got world-class facilities, you got doctors, you got health insurance, you've got crowds of 10 to 20,000 coming to see you in the SEC every week, you're on television. You know, Rashawn Hammonds goes pros, guys, we're not going to see him again on TV. You're going to need to look for his highlights on Facebook. I mean, that's just a fact. Unless he just changes dramatically and we see the best out of him in every outing, you might see him at the end of an NBA bench sometime. I mean, you're talking about the G League. The G League doesn't pay very well. He's going to have to go overseas to make any kind of money. And I don't know what's waiting for. But again, you know, I've talked to a lot of those guys that have played overseas. You know, Chris Lofton's a great example. Chris Lofton was a phenomenal player. You guys know that.
Oh, yeah.
Buried, pretty much got Dennis Felton fired single-handedly. I mean, they just
I don't think he ever missed a shot here. It felt like.
I don't think there wasn't many places Chris did miss a shot.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant. He took Kevin Durant out one-on-one.
Yeah.
And this guy played overseas in Turkey and France. And Chris is a basketball nut, so that worked for him. But he never saw the NBA. And you're talking about a prolific all-time SEC scorer from three. Never saw the NBA. Most consistent, best guy you could want. Juwan Smith was another guy. You know, Ron Slay. There's a lot of guys you look at that never saw the – and they did fine overseas. But do you leave college early to go overseas with where things are at right now with this pandemic and the uncertainty? That's, I guess, the question that I ask is, do you leave a comfortable environment like Georgia for the unknown of overseas right now? I don't understand it. But, again, I'm not walking a mile in those shoes. I don't know who's in his ear. I don't know. Maybe there's some financial burden or need. So I can't walk a mile in those shoes. But from a straight business standpoint, it's just a really bad decision.
Agreed. Agreed. Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Mike, switching gears just a little bit, you wrote an article over the weekend, somebody that's quickly becoming mine and a lot of other Bulldog fans' favorite player, Nolan Smith. It sounds like he and I have a little bit different routine when we go to the beach. And one thing that's fascinating about this pandemic is seeing some of these players, the way they're staying in shape, what they're doing to make sure they're not just completely falling off the wagon. But you wrote about that. What did Nolan Smith do at the beach this past couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of working out. You know, the players embrace the grind. You know, you've got to, you know, it's hard to imagine looking forward to those kind of workouts, especially as we get older and we're trying to stay in shape. For them, that's their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they get. They look forward to. And I thought Jermaine Johnson had a good tweet last week. You know, he's one of the outside linebackers. Has there ever been an outside linebacker three deep like George's anywhere? Aziz Ojulari, Nolan Smith, and Jermaine Johnson. Is that like maybe the best outside linebacker three deep in college football history?
In my time in Athens, it's about as good as I can ever remember.
I've never seen one in college football like it. Maybe not even the NFL when you look at where these guys are going to end up. But, you know, Jermaine Johnson's quote was, you know, competing with the other guys easy. It's learning to compete with yourself. But, you know, the greatest players are the ones that do that. And Nolan Smith's one of those guys. I mean, what does that tell you about Georgia when you got the number one overall recruit in the country and he doesn't even start a game, plays 14 games and has 18 tackles? He's the number one overall recruit, right? And he's good with it because, you know, that's just how good that Georgia defense is. And all three of those guys are coming back. So it's going to be exciting, you know, once football starts again. It'll be interesting to see what measures they take. It looks like there's going to be I saw UGASports.com. They were the first ones to report it. And then I followed up with McGarity. Looks like they may be doing some quarantining of the coaches and the players in that Georgia conference center right there across from the practice field. That's kind of interesting. And then reading the NCAA guidelines, right in line with that. You move in there in mid-July for a couple weeks. Everybody's quarantined. And then you get on with your regular practices August 1st. I'm guessing that's kind of the projection right now.
And then again, we don't know, you know, at this point, it's just speculation of would there be fans in the stands, mm-hmm. would, you know, would the season start on time, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's just where we are right now, just having to wait and see.
Well, it's, you know, where we're at right now, it's kind of reshaping our perspective, David. I mean, I was thinking about this. You know, you talk about when is it safe to come to campus. I say, well, when is it safe to stay home? Now that everything's opened up, where are you really safer? Are you safer on a campus around other college students and around the medical care 24/7 and quarantined with your teammates? Are you safer scattered back around your home, going to the mall, going to the McDonald's, seeing relatives from all over different states at various functions? What's really safer? Where do you really have more exposure? What's the more controlled environment? If you ask me, it's that campus college environment. And we talk about quarantining athletes. They're kind of already quarantined. Think about it. You go in that football building, they got their own weight room, they got their own workout facility, they got their own training table, they got their own academic support center. I mean, just by the nature of being a scholarship athlete, you're pretty much quarantined away from the student body, except for those instances and you go to class, and more we're seeing people go online. So they're already quarantined just by nature of being collegiate athletes.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. They are. That's for sure. Especially with the what the Georgia football building has become a vault anyway over the last few years. We're talking with Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Mike, a little bit of a segue here. You mentioned those outside linebackers and Jermaine Johnson and Nolan Smith, Azeez Ojulari. And, the fourth string guy happens to be another five-star Adam Anderson, which kind of segues into this. Tennessee's had them a pretty good week on the recruiting trail. And I can't open up social media without some Vol fan declaring they're going to win the next five national championships. Are we just going to pretend that Georgia doesn't have the depth that Kirby Smart's put together and didn't just wrap up another number one class last year? Did Jeremy Pruitt really just pass Georgia in a single week?
Well, on this year's recruiting rankings, he did. But that's now. I mean, let's try to keep this into perspective. And really... If you're Tennessee, you look for things to celebrate.
Of course.
Again, it's all relative, right? So Georgia finishes number four in the country, goes, 12-2, 5-1 against top 25 teams last year, wins its third straight SEC East division. And yet, I feel like half the time I'm talking Georgia fans off ledges because they're thinking it's a horrible season. Tennessee hasn't beat a top 10 team since 2006. But they won six games in a row and beat Indiana in a bowl game, beat Kentucky, beat Vanderbilt, and through May have a top five recruiting class. And their fans are ready to throw a parade. I mean, so sometimes when you start feeling down, I guess what I'm trying to get at here is when you start feeling down about your team, you know, look around you, and who really, other than Alabama, and I don't know, is Alabama? I mean, how was the Citrus Bowl, right? I don't know. How was losing to Auburn again?
Yeah, I didn't
two
watch
out of
it.
The last 3 years. But my point is, you know, who really has it better than Georgia, right? Clemson maybe. LSU had 1 year. But my goodness, I mean, after watching the draft, after every LSU guy was picked, we had to hear how he'd been arrested or suspended or, you know, it was like, my gosh, what, you know, give Ed Orgeron credit for keeping guys out of jail. I mean, the problems that program had were unbelievable. But now that they're the number one team in the country, there's going to be a different level of scrutiny, and LSU ain't going to be back. Just newsflash, Ed Orgeron, 5 years tops and not another national title. They'll never repeat it. I mean, but the collection of talent they had. But really, if you're not Georgia, who would you really rather be? And if you do say Clemson, and you could make that case, I mean, how much does it suck to be a Clemson fan and have maybe one or two games all year that are interesting? Maybe, because you play in the ACC. I mean, is there any drama when Wake Forest and NC State come to town? I mean, at least with Georgia, you get fired up for Florida, you get fired up for, I don't know, Auburn. I guess this year you got the Alabama game. I'm a little bored with Georgia Tech, but you Georgia people seem to love snapping their butts into the ground. I just think that's just such a boring, I can't even call it a rival. It's like, really? Really, Georgia Tech? It's like playing your little brother that's 5 years younger than you. How do you even get excited for that? But some Georgia fans really like it. They love abusing Georgia Tech. But if you're Clemson, I mean, what do you get excited for? You know, Florida State's not even an exciting game anymore. You ain't beating by 40 or 50 points. So I think Georgia's in a pretty good place. I mean, I think Tennessee's excitement over a recruiting class in the month of May gives you just how much perspective, how desperate some fan bases are for excitement.
Well, yeah, Clemson's kind of going through in the ACC right now what like Florida State went through 20 years ago when they joined the league, where they were just running through everybody and there wasn't a lot going on, and now it's turned here. The I was also going to say too, when we were talking about the rivalries and those kind of things, where you're talking about the scheduling and all that kind of stuff, that yeah, it does change over time, and things do get a little bit different. And for, you know, generations that are a little bit older, I guess there's Tech, there's the younger, there's Florida, so I get it. Do you think though, with what we're seeing with Tennessee, though, this isn't a surprise with the recruiting boost that they're getting? I think that a lot of folks would have said, yeah, they'll probably get that with Jeremy Pruitt and the staff he's put together. But will it translate to potentially on the field? And, I mean, I guess that's something we won't know until it happens. But, I mean, that's why I'm not surprised at all this. I mean, Georgia was like this, too, back in the 90s with Florida, where have a great great recruiting class and everybody get excited, and then it didn't necessarily translate into winning games on the field as much as you would have thought. But hey,
well, I mean, 2017, I was covering Tennessee, and they had the number one class in the SEC entering the 2017 season. In like September, they had the top recruiting class in September in the whole SEC, and they started losing football games. And Cade May says, "You know what? I'm out of here." And you know, I mean, the whole class just fell apart. And you might say, well, Cade Mays went back. Well, Cade Mays went back because Tennessee was willing to sign his brother. His brother wasn't good enough to play at Georgia. So Georgia didn't sign him. So Tennessee did. And said, hey, Cade, look, we'll take your brother. And so Cade said, oh, yeah, all right, I'll come home, right? And that's fine. You know, Cade Mays came in, did a good job. I'm a Swiss Army knife guy. Helped Georgia win a lot of those football games. You don't begrudge him. I mean, he's from Knoxville. It's in his blood. It's family culture. And you know, Philip Fulmer's there running the program now. They've got some direction. You know, they're recruiting well. Like you said, they've hired a good staff. But at the end of the day, they still got to play at Oklahoma. Now, if Tennessee beats Oklahoma in September, maybe they got my attention then. And I go, okay, all right, maybe. You beat Oklahoma at Oklahoma, now you got my attention. But you lose to Oklahoma by two or three touchdowns and you lose to Florida again? And to me, it's more of the same. You know,
yeah.
That's good. You're back. You're beating Kentucky. You're beating Van. You know, if you're Tennessee, you should be, for God's sakes. They got incredible facilities. I mean, Tennessee's got all the money. Philip Fulmer's directing all the money into football. I mean, they've got it right now. Their administration has been such a disaster for the last 15 years when they went through all those ADs and all the presidents. I mean, you talk about horrible leadership. Horrible leadership. You know, Butch Jones actually had the program headed in the right direction, and he had a chancellor that wouldn't let him spend $1 million on an offensive coordinator. And this is after he started 5-0 and beat Georgia and Florida in 2016. Beat Georgia, Florida, beat Virginia Tech in a battle of Bristol. I mean, Tennessee was a top 10 team less than 4 years ago, guys. Everybody goes, oh, Jeremy Pruitt. Like, hey, look, 4 years ago, Tennessee was in the top 10, and they beat Georgia and Florida and Virginia Tech. And that's a pretty good start to a season, right? So it's not like they haven't been good in a long time. They were good. They just couldn't sustain it. The question is, can they get that good again? Can they beat Georgia and Florida in the same season again? And can they sustain it once that happens? And, you know, doing it once and sustaining it are two different things. I mean, we saw that with Georgia. 2017, you go play for a national title. Ain't been back to the playoffs since. Got kind of messed over by the playoff committee with that Oklahoma guy on it the next year in 2018. Last year just wasn't good enough. You know, really. I mean, top five team, but you weren't good enough. How crazy is that? But those receivers just killed you. So this year, we'll see what happens. We'll see if the offense can come together and if the defense is as good as we think.
Hey, speaking of this year, by the way, you and the Dog Nation guys got together late last week and did a little roundtable, which is always enjoyable. We appreciate you guys keeping it fresh like that. But you each made some bold predictions. I want you to elaborate on both of yours. One got me real excited. Dave, probably not so much. And that's, you said Georgia will wear the black jerseys at some point in 2020. And then your other one, I'm going to need you to elaborate on that one. You said Georgia will have two different quarterbacks start a game this season. So you pick where you want to start with that. I like them both.
Well, I mean, I think recruiting, I mean, you know, this name, image, likeness thing is going to be a game changer. Mm-hmm. You know, in 2021, we're going to be talking about players getting paid for their social media accounts. So instead of doing those TV interviews with Savannah's radio station, mm-hmm.
you're going to see Nolan Smith and his agent setting one up to do one on their own channel. And that's going to be interesting. Instead of Kirby Smart saying no freshman can talk, all freshmen can talk. Because if they can't talk at Georgia, they're going to go someplace where they can.
It's a good point.
Because they've got marketability they got to consider. And Kirby's already, I guarantee he's already got a plan for all this. He already got a plan for all this. The question is how they do it. Everybody's going to do it a little bit differently. So to me, you got to pull out all the stops in recruiting now. You got to pull out all the stops. And the black jersey is just one of them. Kids like it, and it's free. You know what? It's not going to cost Kirby Smart anything. I also think it has to do with his relationship with his players, specifically Richard LeCount. You know, they've got, to me, that's one of the most fun relationships to watch, whether it was Kirby's practical joke with Matthew Bowling, which is still like one of the greatest college football moments for me ever, with seeing Kirby pull that joke with Matthew Bowling. I mean, it's so well thought out, set up, and elaborate. You know, and him calling out Richard, you know, so it's virtual G-Day, and Kirby's on there throwing, you know, rare bouquets at his team and how good everybody is. And just out of nowhere, he goes, well, this play here, Cole Kmet, he beats Richard on this one. Richard just kind of standing there looking at the quarterback. You're like, where did that come from? Like, everybody's in this feel-good mood, and Kirby's going to drop the bomb on Richard LeCount because he's letting Richard know you're not there yet, man. And yet Richard is one of the top five projected defensive players in the draft. But you could, there's just this love that Kirby has for Richard, where he's going to lean on Richard and make sure that he gets everything out of Richard and helps Richard become the best possible player that he can. And Richard's got that love for Kirby. He respects him and loves it that Kirby leans on him. And some fans may not get it, but to me, it's beautiful. It's what football's about. And when Kirby Smart calls your name out and criticizes you publicly, that tells you how much he thinks about your possibility and your potential. If he's not saying your name and you're not playing, that's when you got a problem. But when he's calling you out saying you can do this better or pointing out your mistakes, you know, that's because he set the bar that high for you. So I think Richard LeCount is the guy that can convince Kirby to wear the black jersey.
Love it.
It's kind of a circuitous route to because I think Kirby will listen to Richard.
No, it
I
makes
think
sense.
There's that mutual respect.
All right. Great
and then
stuff,
the
Mike.
Other one is just the other one is just you know, the SEC is a tough league. Jamie Newman's gonna run the ball a lot. And, you know, there could be a situation where they want to try to change up and try a different quarterback out there in the first series, whether it's Carson Beck or Dwan Mathis. But if you look at the numbers in the SEC and how many schools start more than one quarterback during the course of the season, the percentages would be in that favor. And I'd say that could happen with Jamie Newman this year.
Makes sense.
Great stuff, Mike. We appreciate it. And
all right,
be well. We'll catch you again next Monday.
All right, have a good one.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.